During Rav Chanan Wasserman, we were in the middle of the piece that Rav Chanan Wasserman wrote about tshuva. And he began by quoting the Mesilat Yesharim, that technically, logic would dictate that there's no way to fix something that one has done wrong. How could someone change something he's already done? And Mesilat Yesharim said, Ramchal wrote that it is rachamim. It is because Hashem is so merciful that He gives us this opportunity of doing tshuva, that to uproot what we've done before. Because technically, our regret, our remorse, what's called in Hebrew charata, doesn't uproot anything. And yet, the Torah says if a person regrets what he's done, he has the capacity to do tshuva. And about this, he asked. It says in the Talmud tractate Kiddushin that even someone completely pious, if at the end of his days he regrets everything he's done, he can lose all his merits. And so the question he's asking is, here you see that regret can undo an action. The man has done kindness his whole life, and then he regrets it. In the end, we say he can uproot everything he's done. So why does Ramchal say that the only reason that regret can have an impact in this world is out of Hashem's mercifulness? We see that regret can undo good things, so certainly it should be able to undo bad things. So he wrote that he asked the Chafetz Chaim this, and the Chafetz Chaim had answered that there are two types of tshuva, as we know. There's tshuva me'yirah and tshuva me'ahava. And the Chafetz Chaim said that when we say that it is kindness, we're talking about tshuva me'ahava, where Hashem switches the transgressions into merits. That is out of Hashem's kindness. But if one does tshuva out of fear, so then technically that's not real tshuva. If there were no punishment, then he wouldn't have done tshuva. He wouldn't have regretted anything. So he says, so wait a second. So he's saying tshuva, I said it backwards, I'm sorry. He said two things are beyond the call of duty. Number one, that one's transgressions become merits when one does tshuva me'ava. And and then he added that tshuva me'ira does not include regret over the past, because one is simply fearful of the punishment. That's the reason he's repenting. So if there wouldn't be no punishment, he wouldn't do any tshuva. Now, according to him, the reason tshuva out of love undoes one's transgressions, the undoing of the transgression is logical, just as the undoing of one's merits, he says, the Talmud says, happens through regret. So then, according to the Chafetz Chaim, regret can undo an action. So when a person does tshuva out of love, what he's saying is, I regret what I did. I love Hashem. I don't want to have done that thing which I did wrong. But Rav Chanan Wasserman said that doesn't fit into the language of the Mesilat Yesharim, because Mesilat Yesharim said, logically, my will does not undo my action. So the Rav Chanan Wasserman started explaining a whole new concept. And he said, we find later in Mesilat Yesharim that every action, every mitzvah has two levels. We know that a mitzvah accomplishes that there's a strengthening of something true, something good within a person. There's a removal of part of the dark side of a person's personality. So the mitzvah develops a person. And a mitzvah also has a component of doing the will of Hashem. There are two things. One is the actual result in this world of a mitzvah, which is mitzvos drive the world or the human being forward. And secondly is completely separate. He's doing the will of Hashem. Two aspects, two components. That's what Mesilat Yesharim writes. Again, there's the accomplishment. In this world, you accomplish something by doing a mitzvah. Even if Hashem didn't tell us to do a mitzvah, it would be a good thing to do. As we find that the Avos did the mitzvos before they were commanded. And the Rambam writes that every mitzvah has a reason, because at the end of the day, the mitzvahs accomplish something in the world. But aside from that, there's the concept that you're doing what Hashem asked you to do, irrespective of what it accomplishes. And that's where we got up to. So we're up to page Chaf Beis, the letter Gimel. And it would seem. When does the Talmud say that when a person regrets what he's done, he loses the mitzvos? That's with regards to the second aspect. If we say, let's say, I'm giving an example, hypothetically, let's say we would say that by eating kosher, a person becomes more healthy. Let's say, I'm not saying that's true, I'm saying let's say we would say that. So then we'd say when you eat kosher, you accomplish that you're more healthy. When you eat kosher, you accomplish that you're doing the will of Hashem. Now, a day after a person started eating kosher, he looks back and says, I regret I did that. I forewent that cheeseburger for nothing. Okay? So now, what's he affecting with his remorse? So Rav Elchanan Wasserman wants to say, he says, the only thing he's affecting is doing the will of Hashem. But if by eating that kosher food he benefited something, the world's a better place, he's a better person, that doesn't change because he regretted it. Sir Rav Elchanan Wasserman postulates, he says, it would seem that regret only undoes the component of doing the will of Hashem. A person gives charity. So a day later he says, shucks, I should have kept that money, I could have bought myself a yacht. Okay, you could understand. The guy gave $500,000 to charity. A day later, he can regret it. But the charity accomplished something. Does his regret undo the accomplishments of the mitzvos? Rav Elchanan Wasserman says what regret seems to affect is regret seems to affect the aspect of doing the will of Hashem. When a person regrets it, what he's saying is, I regret, I listened to Hashem. But the outcome, the accomplishments of the mitzvah, that his regret cannot affect. It would seem that what a person has accomplished through a mitzvah does not get eradicated through one's regret. So then it would be as though Hashem never told you to do it, because you're saying, I regret I did the will of Hashem, but you've done it nonetheless. So now let's take the same concept to a transgression. Where does regret affect us? A person says, yesterday I ate, and then I should have said a bracha achrona, I should have benched. And then I decided I'm much more interested in reading an article, and I forewent benching. And then he looks back and says, I regret that I didn't bench. So what's he doing? What he's doing is saying, I regret I didn't listen to Hashem. The regret is in the realm of the obedience to the commandment of Hashem. So let's say a person, yesterday he stole. So a person says, I regret I stole. We say that when a person doesn't make a blessing, he's stolen from his creator. He has eaten fruit without having license to eat that fruit, because he should have made a blessing. So now, by his saying, I regret that I didn't make the blessing, he doesn't undo what he's ruined by transgressing. So that's what he wants to say. That when the Mesilat Yesharim writes that the erasure of one's transgression is kindness, it's in that realm. It's in the idea that a person, his regret only undoes the aspect of doing the will of Hashem. It doesn't really affect the action. When Hashem says, by regretting it, I'm willing to consider it like you changed the action, so then that's lifnim, that's beyond the call of duty. So let's take a serious case. We have a tremendous king in the Jewish people called David HaMelech, King David. And David HaMelech takes a woman who is questionably married. Ultimately, it turns out she was not married, but at the time he was intimate with her, it wasn't clear. He spends the rest of his life doing tshuva. Now, what does tshuva affect? So Rav Elchanan Wasserman says, tshuva affects the aspect of, do I do the will of Hashem? Whenever we stand before a challenge, we're basically standing before the question, am I doing the will of Hashem or am I not? Am I doing what I want to do? When David HaMelech regrets everything that he's done, he's regretting not having done the will of Hashem. Does that undo the action he did? Ah, that's Lifnei Meshuat HaDin. When Hashem tells David, I've forgiven you, what Hashem is saying is, I'm going to consider it as though you never did it. That is beyond the call of duty. To regret not listening to Hashem, there we can understand that regret affects it. But to regret the action, that's Lifnei Meshuat HaDin. That's Hashem saying, I'll go beyond the call of duty, I'll consider it as though you didn't do it. Uvisof Be'akama de Baba Kama. And the Talmud tells us at the end of the first chapter of Tractate Baba Kama, Amal Yirmiyahu Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the prophet Jeremiah said before Hashem, Afilu B'Sha'a Shosin Tzedakah Anshei Anatot. There are the people of Anatot, priests from Jeremiah's family, Yirmiyahu's own relatives who tried to poison him to death. And Yirmiyahu says about them, Hashem, even when they go to do charity, Hachshilen bivnei adam shenan muganim, make them stumble upon people who are dishonest. Kedei shelo yikablu aleihem sachar, they should not get reward for it. So Yirmiyahu is so embittered against the people of Anatot that he prays that even when they try to do a mitzvah, it shouldn't work for them. Bekashe. But we read that line of Talmud, we should be bothered. Ha-kaimalan. The Talmud tells us, Chishev adam lasot mitzvah v'neinas v'lo asah. If a person meant to do a mitzvah, he intended completely to do a mitzvah, and then for circumstances beyond his control, he did not succeed in doing the mitzvah. Ma'ale alav ha-katuv kilu asah. So the Torah says it's considered as though he did perform the mitzvah. So then what's Yirmiyahu davening for? What does it matter? I meant to give charity. I gave charity. As far as I knew, the man was honest. He was an honest-to-goodness pauper. Now it turns out he tricked the person. So he doesn't get a mitzvah? Do you have a greater example of a person's intending to do a mitzvah and being nanas and being in circumstances beyond their control where they do not succeed? So what was Jeremiah accomplishing by praying that they should not come upon honest paupers? וכיוון שנכשלו שלא מידת בבני אדם שאינם מוגנים, למה לא יקבלו שכר למחשבתן לעשות מצווה? So Rav Elchanan Wasserman asks, if no one knew that this pauper was dishonest, so then why won't they get merits? Just because the man was dishonest. They did the best they could. Good question, guys. We understand Rav Elchanan Wasserman's question. והנה בגמרא נחלקו עם מצוות צריכות כוונה. In the Talmud we have an argument. It spans all of Torah. Is it incumbent upon us to have intent when we do a mitzvah? Are we also considered to have done the mitzvah if we do not have intention for the mitzvah? So, a person wears tzitzis because he's cold. He's cold, so he's wearing a four-cornered garment with a tzitzis and did he do a mitzvah? A person puts on tefillin to show someone else how you put on tefillin. But they don't have intention to do the mitzvah. Did they do the mitzvah? A person reads Kriya Shema in the morning because he's practicing to lane this coming Shabbos. But he's not having the intention to do the biblical mitzvah of reading Kriya Shema. People read Shema every morning and every evening, and they forget that there's a biblical mitzvah to remember that we went out of Egypt every morning and every evening. So if I don't have that intention, I read Shema, I flew through Shema. I barely knew what I was reading or going, but okay, I read it. Did I do a mitzvah? That's a machlokes. Mitzvot tzichot kavana. Do mitzvos require intent? Does one fulfill a mitzvah even if they did not have the intention to do a biblical mitzvah? Yes.
Don't we say that if we pray Amidah for example without Kavanah, we don't have to reveal it to pray Amidah?
So we have to discuss three things which we cannot discuss now, but if you remind me, we'll come back to it. We have to discuss mitzvot tzichot kavanah is only biblical. With regards to rabbinic mitzvot, we hold that halachically you're yotzei even if you didn't have kavanah. Number two, there's a difference between mitzvot tzichot kavanah and prayer or blessing, where the mitzvah itself, intrinsic to it, is the kavanah. And number three is the question of what kavanah do we consider ourselves as having nowadays in our tefillah. So those are three things we have to discuss. Write it down, and Be'ezrat Hashem, Thursday night, we'll get back to it. V'lechad mandamar atokeh leshir lo yatza, v'tzarich lechzor v'litkoa. One opinion says that if someone blew shofar and he was playing a song, he had no intention to blow shofar that day. So one opinion says he has to re-blow shofar. V'chad amar, and one opinion says the b'dievad yatza gam b'lo kavanah. That if he did it, it's not the right way to do it, but he was yotze, even though he didn't have intent. Technically, everyone agrees, ideally, the proper way to do mitzvah is to have kavanah. So he says, okay, wait, we said every mitzvah has two components, doing the will of Hashem and the accomplishment of the mitzvah. A person has no concept that this is the will of Hashem. Can you say that he accomplished that with the mitzvah? So then you have to say that what he accomplished is just the other component of the mitzvah. So then he's telling us a phenomenal chiddush now in the explanation of mitzvot tzichot kavanah. He says, every mitzvah has the component of doing the will of Hashem and what the mitzvah accomplishes. We don't know what it accomplishes by blowing shofar. We don't know. But it accomplishes something. A person blew shofar thinking he's playing a song. He wanted to show off to everyone how well he blows shofar. He didn't have intention to do the mitzvah. One opinion says he was yotze. That opinion also holds that lechatchila you have to have intention. When that guy blew shofar to show off to his brother, look at how well I blow shofar. Was he intending to do the will of Hashem? No. So the component of doing the will of Hashem was non-existent when he blew shofar. Which component was existent? Whatever accomplishments a mitzvah does, it accomplishes. So he accomplished whatever the mitzvah accomplished. But now he cannot fix the lack of intent. He cannot fix the aspect of I'm doing the will of Hashem when he does the mitzvah. And he wants to say that the opinion that says mitzvot tzichot kavanah is going to hold that you didn't do a mitzvah at all if you didn't think of Hashem. If you don't have the Ribbono Shel Olam component in the mitzvah, then the mitzvah is not considered accomplished. So that's how he wants to explain the two opinions. He's taken a concept that really spans all of Torah, and with this idea, he's showing how that concept is going to apply and going to define for us the machloket of mitzvot tzichot kavanah. Okay, this is a little bit deep. We have a few more paragraphs to go. We'll pick up here Be'ezrat Hashem Sunday, unless you guys want to finish now. We'll pick up Sunday.